a PowerPoint if the technology's working. Is anyone brave enough to tell me what it stands for? You heard it a little bit earlier in the notices. But it's not that easy, is it?
Go turn the lights on.
Any ideas? Oh, and that's working too, amazing. So it's the Soldiers and Airmen Scripture Readers Association, but do you know actually what the RAF call airmen and airwomen nowadays in the spirit of our age? Aviators. Aviators. So you'll hear that phrase. Yeah, we've been going a long time. This is Sergeant Rudd, which I told you a little bit about. 1838, there's another meeting, or actually it was before then, but 1838 is when Santa regards its birthday, really. See, although it was wonderful, soldiers were beginning the Bible from about 1825 onwards, there was a problem. Any idea what the problem was? They couldn't read. Most of the soldiers couldn't read. So a group of Christian officers got together and said, what we're going to do, we're going to put our own money in, pool our own resources, and we're going to employ Christians to go onto the bases and read the Bible to the soldiers. What shall we call these people? We'll call them scripture readers. Scripture readers. And that's what they did. They paid for Christians to go onto the bases to sit down with soldiers and read the soldiers' own Bibles to them. We have scripture readers today. They have permission to go onto military bases. They've all served. They've all served. They wear a uniform. They have permission to wear a uniform. It says scripture reader on the lapels. So when you meet them, you're a soldier. What does a soldier do? They look for rank. When they see scripture reader, they don't know whether to brace, to salute. They don't know what to do. So very often they'll ask, what is a scripture reader? We have scripture readers today. We've had scripture readers since 1838. What's Sazra's mission? I think the wonderful thing about Sazra really is Sazra's mission hasn't changed since 1838. It's simply this. It's simply that all serving personnel, particularly in the Army and the RAF, will hear the gospel, will hear the message about the Lord Jesus during their time in uniform. That's it. Now, our scripture readers will help in any way they can. They'll help soldiers in any way they can. Just like you as a local church, you'll help out the community in any way you can. But they're there because they want to be light, and they want to be salt, and they want to point these young men and women to the Lord Jesus. Of course, it's urgent, like all gospel work is urgent. One of the reasons it's so urgent is we work among very young people, 17 to 24, not exclusively, but very largely, up to 10,000 recruited in the British Army every year. And when the British Army recruits, they recruit from the toughest, most challenging parts of British society. It's a very sad reflection of modern-day Britain that I can say to you that many of the young people the Army are recruiting are in the last chance saloon of life before they reach the age of 20. Because for them, in their area where they're growing up, the normal course of life for them is very likely to be some form of addiction, crime to fuel that addiction, and prison down the line. Or they might just make it in the British Army. And these are the young people that we're working amongst. Of course, it's very dangerous. I think Lord Dannett, who is ex-head of the British Army, a Christian man, he put it very well. Basically, to paraphrase, we're asking these young people to risk their lives to do so without sharing with them the Christian hope, and the fact that there is a life to come is something of a betrayal. Why is it sad that it exists? Again, it's kind of simple, really. It's because you and I can't go on the bases. We're not allowed. Please don't try it. You'll get in terrible trouble. There are church buildings on the bases. Often they're new, not you, sadly. But the church isn't able to go on the bases. We go on behalf of the local church on the bases. That's what we do. If the local churches were ever allowed on the bases to go and take services, Sazra, in many ways, wouldn't need to do that, do the work that we do. Sazra goes where you can't go. behind the wire to reach the men and women of British armed forces. So how is it in secular Britain in 2024 that the army and the RAF allow men and women from Sazra to be in uniform, to go onto bases, to have Bible studies, to have prayer meetings, to give out Gospels, to give out New Testaments? How is that? How is that possible? Why is that happening when you think of secular Britain today? Well, it's quite a lot to do with those young people I mentioned, those 17 to 24-year-olds, because they come from such dysfunctional backgrounds. You can't call them dysfunctional. The word isn't adequate. They'll never come into a church. They've never picked up a Bible. They couldn't quote you a single verse. And yet they're going to be armed. They're going to be sent to conflict zones. They're going to be shot at. They're going to capture people. What will they do when they capture people? The army know exactly what will happen. So they're very keen that these new recruits should understand basic moral principles. The sanctity of life. Every life matters. Right, wrong, self-control, discipline. Basic Christian principles. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to teach these young people? Sadly, we've never, many of them have never heard anything of the life. Many of them, not all, but many of them have a reading age of under 11. Who's going to teach them? Who's going to speak to them about it? Those scripture readers, they could do that. And a number of our scripture readers have the privilege of teaching the moral component of fighting power to people who, these young people, some of them, never heard the like of it before. I thought I'd just share with you briefly a little bit about where we work, just a few examples. This is Kevin and Mike. Kevin's looking at us on the right there. He works at the Jackson Club. Jackson Club is a cafe set up by Christians, very famous in the army, famous for cheesy beans. Cheesy beans, that's lashings of bread, cheese beans on bread, like a lasagna, built up. Huge. Not recommended if you're dieting. Perfectly honest, but we don't pass this on. But anyway, it's very popular, the Jackson Club, because there's no rank in the Jackson Club. Officers go in there and soldier privates go in, no rank. Mike has an office there, and he goes out and he engages with the soldiers. He befriends them. That's what his role is. It's that he wants to get to know them, to help them, to befriend them. And he says what we're looking for is God-given opportunities. He said to me on one occasion, as he was driving into the barracks, there was a little lay-by a little way away. He stopped and he asked the Lord for permission to turn around and go home. He didn't feel like being a Christian that day. He didn't feel like being a scripture reader that day. Please, Lord, can I go home? Well, he prayed a bit and then he felt, no, I haven't been given permission. He went into the Jackson Club. The first person he met, he spoke to, this man was great in me, he spoke to about 3 hours about spiritual things. That's what our scripture readers long for. God-given opportunities. It's not easy being a scripture reader, but what's what we are asked for? God-given opportunities. You have to pass forward that one on the One of the things the army, of course, are very keen on is mental health, for obvious reasons. They have health fairs. That's Mike there. Next to him is Steve on the right. He's another scripture reader. At the health fair, you'll have doctors and you'll have psychologists and clinologists of all sorts. But we also have Sazra there talking about spiritual health. They said they didn't move from the table the whole morning, not because they were being lazy, but because they had a constant stream of soldiers wanting to find out more. Soldiers generally are not closed to Christian things. When they fill in a questionnaire for one of our scripture readers, maybe about, I don't know, 60% of them or whatever, I can't remember the answer, but it was something like that, say that they're either atheists or agnostic or don't believe in God or the soul. But when asked, would you like us to pray for you, 100% tick that box. Very interesting. Soldiers are not closed to nuts. They want to know about Christian things, particularly if they're about to be deployed. There's a little clip here about mental health. I don't know if it's going to work. We'll see. This is Josh speaking, who's at Hyde Park Barracks. And I think the sound is the big problem. So I'll tell you what he's saying. Basically, he says, there are many excellent mental health strategies that have been really helpful and useful. But as a Christian, did you see the verse? Keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts me. As a Christian, what seek to do is to share with soldiers that to be right with God, to be at peace with God, is the very best mental health coping strategy. So sorry, I'm with Sam. So are you able to move it on?
Sure.
This is Tian at MOD Line. Those three young men have all been baptized recently. Tian is not too far away from you at MOD Lynham, and he's been there quite some time. He has lots and lots of activities that he gets up to. There's a couple of his prayer requests. He's running a Faith and Fate course. That's like a Christianity Explored course, but it's called Faith and Fate to make it more appealing to soldiers, and so on. Lots of things that he's up to at the minute. One of the young men who's been recently converted said to Tian, look, I'm getting married, and I want to know about biblical marriage, the Bible says about marriage, and I want all my friends to know about it. So instead of having a stag do and going out, I want you to come with us and go away for the weekend, and I want you to give us 6 messages on biblical marriage. So that's a kind of unique sort of situation. So so do remember Tian, there's a lad called Harry who's been recently baptized, and so on to pray. Tian has quite a privileged MOD line, and because when a new soldier comes onto the base, as part of their inset, they get to know what happens there, they have to go and see Tian for 15 minutes. It's a little bit like if anybody moves into Upper Sudley, anybody moves into the area, they have to make an appointment to come and speak to Chris for 15 minutes so he can explain about the work of the church and so on. Imagine that, wouldn't it be amazing if that was to happen? So, but he has that opportunity and that privilege. He can explain and talk to the soldiers about what he does, how he can help them and so on. And just a couple of last things. Her late Majesty was our patron, as was her father, as was her grandfather. So one of the things that we would love prayer for is for understanding what's going to happen next, because the king may decide to continue with that royal patronage, but he may not. And if he doesn't, we get one shot at nominating a leading royal to do that. Does it matter? I think it does, actually, because Sansra has quite a few enemies, atheists, humanists. They tell the army in no uncertain terms, why are you allowing Christians on your bases, giving out New Testaments and so on? Why are you allowing that? At such a time, it's really helpful to be able to say, did you know that the commander-in-chief is our patron? That's quite a protection for us. It's quite a help. One of the other main requests, sorry, it's gone again, is more scripture readers. We'd love to have more scripture readers. But to be a scripture reader, you've got to serve, got to love to share your faith. You've got to be wise. That's fine, we did finish. And the last one was just to remember about the Ukrainian conflict in particular and all the horror of it. One of our scripture readers phoned up HQ and said, have you got any Ukrainian Bibles? And HQ said, well, we can get you some. How many do you want? He said, I think 25,000 would do it. and he's having the privilege of taking services. One service he took recently with a chaplain was, he said, very, very moving. There were about 200 young men, all young men from Ukraine. At the end of the service, a number of them wanted to stay behind for prayer. He said it was incredibly moving because a number of them were really in earnest and were crying out, and some of them were weeping. And he said they weren't weeping because they knew they were going back onto the front line in a few months, and 20% of them would be dead or injured within a month. They weren't weeping about that. He said they were weeping because they wanted to be at peace with God. They wanted forgiveness of sins before they went onto the front line. So amidst all the horror of what's going on. God is still working. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to ask me about anything later, this literature on the front is free. There's an e-newsletter sign up. If you get e-newsletters, great. If you'd like to get one of those every month, fairly regularly. If I go into the HQ with no sign-ups, the ladies are quite brutal. They hide the biscuits. So I